good news and issues from a superior point of view.
As the region's largest city, Duluth affects all of us in the area, and it's time to choose a mayor.
I've been mayor for 2 terms, and I'm seeking re-election because the progress we've made together is worth fighting for and expanding.
I'm running for mayor because, like many Duluthians, I just think it's time for something different. It's time that we expect more.
We'll hear from incumbent mayor Emily Larson and challenger Roger Reinert. Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Duluth is the largest city in our listening area, which covers all of the Twin Ports and most of northwest Wisconsin and northeast Minnesota. Even if you live 100 miles away and in a different state, what happens in Duluth affects you, from transportation to housing prices to communications, and that includes the broadcast tower for WPR's largest regional station, which is located high above Duluth. One of the most influential people in Duluth is the city's mayor, and selecting one is the job of voters on November 7th. To help you make that choice, we're presenting this candidates' forum of the 2 finalists from the August primary election, incumbent mayor Emily Larson and former state representative and state senator Roger Reinert. Both candidates were invited to participate in a head-to-head debate together or separately in individual interviews. Mayor Larson agreed to the joint debate, but Senator Reinert did not. So we will proceed with the individual interviews, in which both candidates will be asked the same questions. Joining me in asking them is Ron Brochu, editor and publisher of Business North and Lake Superior Magazine. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Ron.
Oh, thank you.
And Bob Boone, editor and publisher of the Duluth Reader. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Thank you, Robin.
And so we'll start with Mayor Larson's biographical information. Emily Larson was first elected to serve the city of Duluth as a city councilor in 2013 and elected as mayor in 2015. During her tenure, she says she's increased affordable housing, set a record for private business investment, oversaw an 850% increase in street repairs, and moved the city to be a cleaner, greener Duluth. Mayor Larson says her commitment has never wavered to make Duluth a healthy, sustainable, and inclusive community for all neighbors across all neighborhoods, and that when decisions get tough, she gets to work. Prior to serving the community in elected office, Emily did so as a social worker. She earned her bachelor's degree from the College of St. Scholastica and her graduate degree from the University of Minnesota Duluth. Emily and her husband Doug Zahn live in the Hillside neighborhood, and they have 2 grown sons. When she's not running for office, you may find her running the trails in Duluth. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Mayor Larson.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
And now in your own words, your opening statement.
Great. Well, hi, everyone. I'm Emily Larson. I am honored to be mayor, and I'm really happy to be with you today. I moved to Duluth at the age of 17 to go to school at the College of St. Scholastica, and I stayed. I live with my husband of 24 years in our Hillside home, where we raised our 2 sons who are now grown. I've been mayor for 2 terms, and I'm seeking re-election because the progress we've made together is worth fighting for and expanding. I've taken on major issues one by one, and I'm delivering for Duluth in important transformative ways. I've increased street work by 850%, going from 2 miles a year when I first took office to 17 this year, 20 next year, 50 miles in the next 3 years. Cut greenhouse gas emissions, city's greenhouse gas emissions by 32%, added 1,700 new units of housing, more than has been done in that same time period in 3 decades. Together, we navigated a global pandemic that peaked at 35% unemployment and decimated our city budget, and we're back with more progress and success. We're in our 4th straight year of record private sector development and investment, and citywide crime is down 22%. And my proposed budget for next year decreases your property tax payment. Since January, I've been knocking doors and talking with thousands of Duluth residents in every neighborhood across the city, and these one-on-one conversations on your doorsteps are incredible. Your concerns and honesty, ideas, and hope is really important because while we have so much to feel proud of and build on, we still face serious challenges, and I truly share your impatience for wanting more. Overwhelmingly, the people I've talked with want Duluth to succeed. They believe in our future. They know the momentum that's on the line in this election, and they're suspicious of politicians who claim that our difficult problems can be magically solved because it just doesn't work that way. And you know that. As we go through this conversation today, know that I offered to debate my opponent live on this show at any time of his choosing, and he declined. He didn't want to give you the opportunity to hear the clear distinction between us. What you'll likely hear from him is a lingering of grievances and the airing of non-specifics, and I believe Duluth voters deserve more than that. What you'll hear from me today are tangible plans, specific actions, and a vision to move us forward. I'm a fully tested mayor of steady progress and lasting impact. We have really important challenges ahead as a community. People are truly struggling and hurting. And what we need is a mayor who sees not just the genuine hurt of the moment, but also has the hope and vision and tenacity and dedication of a vision to pull us all through. And that's what I bring. I'm grateful to be here to have a chance to talk and listen.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Larson. And now the questions, beginning with Ron Brochu from Business North. Ron?
Thanks, Robin. Mayor Larson, for decades, many contractors and developers have complained Duluth City offices are more difficult to work with than those elsewhere, and the city's policies are inconsistent. What should be done to improve that reputation?
Okay, great question. Thank you, Ron. I've been hearing this since I moved to Duluth, too, 33 years ago. And some of what we're doing right now, we have engaged an economic development audit that we engaged, you know, hundreds of residents across the city, contractors, builders, inspectors, developers who gave us really solid input on what they need to see from us. And then we hired accordingly a new planning and economic development director named Chad Ronchetti, who is tasked in part with implementing that audit. What came back overwhelmingly is that the work we're doing is important work and people see it and believe it. What they need for us is to be able to communicate in a more fluid way to make sure that they understand all of the ground rules. And part of what I think is really important for us to talk about isn't just a narrative that's old and tired. We need to also be demonstrating the amazing opportunities here in Duluth. We just built a $1 billion hospital. We have got more investment coming in, whether it's from within the city or outside, than we have ever seen. So I think there's an important thing for us to challenge about an old and tired narrative that recognizes that investing here is important, that your time, that your commitment has deep value. And also, we do have some very tangible things we can do to be a good and steady and strong partner with you. And also, we are a good bet on your investment. Some of what I've worked really hard to do is to ensure that when we are investing public money, we're getting good public value. That means project labor agreements. That means community benefits. Agreements. And that doesn't mean that we just make people do that. It means we help them do that. And I'm proud of the fact that we have seen record growth, fourth year of private investment, record growth and permitting. And that's in part because this is where people want to be. When we have developments like Costco that literally could have moved one block and been in Hermantown. And they didn't. They wanted to be here. We have an announcement downtown, our first conversion from office space into housing. We'll have another one of those announcements in probably 2 to 3 weeks. I think we are mindful of the importance of balancing people's investments and also showing up in a meaningful way to make sure that they feel seen and heard, that we're moving permits forward, that we're doing inspections in a timely way. I'm proud of the work that we're doing for that. And I think that there is room that Chad will move us forward with the economic development community who was on board with his hiring.
All right. Thank you again, Mayor Larson. The next question is from Bob Boone of the Duluth Reader.
Why do you want to be Duluth's mayor again? And what distinguishes you from your opponent?
Thank you for the question, Bob. I want to be Duluth's mayor again because I truly feel that the work we set out, this vision that I set out with this community 7 years ago, is still materializing. And some of that is because of a pandemic, right? Some of it is because we all went on this really challenging experience where we had a record scratch. And I see how the work that we're doing, whether it's in streets or lead lines, whether it's on housing or investing in neighborhood revitalization, it is taking hold again in a way that I want to see that arc all the way through. You know, the many announcements I'm making this year, whether it is around kind of the parks and sports programming, the downtown housing study, all of these things were things I was actually announcing at your theater, Bob, in 2020. And then we canceled that State of the City because of a pandemic. So I see the arc of where we're going. I have the relationships and the allies to help us be successful. We have a team at the City of Duluth operating at the absolute top of their professionalism and their game. The support and endorsements of people like Governor Walz, United States Senator Klobuchar and Smith, our state delegation, all of these people, that translates into confidence in this community that I am able to build. These are people that also know my opponent, and they have made a choice about who they are supporting. I know that part of what my opponent will talk about is that he is someone who can dig us out of different holes, but I am telling you, he is someone who helped us create those holes. When he's talking about streets, he is the person who cut by a third our streets and snowplow staff. When he's talking about progress at the state legislature, he was in the legislature for 8 years, and he passed in that whole time eight signatory bills, eight. This is not someone who has the depth of relationship and partnership to immediately leverage funding, progress, and goals for this community. And I think that I have an absolute record. There's no question. I have made decisions that have been challenging. And to be honest, I would probably make those same decisions again. I'm a tested leader. People know and understand what you're going to get. And they know and believe that I understand and see their hurt, but that we're not just going to linger there. We're not just going to linger in what's hard, that I am someone who will bring us through it and bring us through in a whole and healthy way so that every single neighborhood can be ones of choice and opportunity.
Thank you, Mayor Larson. So I have the next question, which is, a report the city commissioned from independent researchers determined that Duluth police were more likely to stop Indigenous and people of color for motor vehicle equipment violations or suspicious activity, and also were more likely to search them and dole out harsher penalties than they were to white residents. Yet it also said that officers didn't think there are racial disparities compared to the public's perception that there were. What are you doing to educate the police force about that? And do you think a senior level BIPOC person on the force would help solve the problem?
I think representation always matters, period, right? I know that to be true as being a woman mayor. Who is leading the city, how they lead a city, who's leading a department, how they lead a department, all of that matters, no question. And thank you for really, this is the first time I feel like I've been asked this question, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity. One of the things I announced in my State of the City, I think it was a year and a half ago, is a racial bias audit. That has actually been led by the community, by the way. That has not been led by me. That has not been led by a police administration. It has been led by a group of community members. And it was in part to be able to get an outside perspective and a community investment and recognition that there is bias that people are feeling and experiencing in very visceral ways. And I feel like this is actually an area I have really supported our police with their equipment needs. I have supported our police with their mental health and physical health needs. I have hired two police chiefs And part of that process has always been about how do we continue to expand public safety trust with our community. And when people are feeling over-policed, we need to be changing how we're approaching that. And this police chief, Mike Sanoa, has a different approach. When there is a hotspot, we don't just start pulling everybody over in that hotspot and start over-policing. We actually dig in further to the details and try to figure out where's the spot within that area that we need to be doing the work. Some of what I do is work regularly with the NAACP and a committee of theirs. We meet very regularly. I think it's every other month right now. Excuse me. We have worked on a couple of policies together. And one of the other things that I've chosen to do when we have had issues, not sure if you remember, there was a homeless Bill of Rights issue, and there was an immigration and deportation concern and issue with the Trump administration. And in both of those instances, we wrote policies with the community. We didn't write the policy and then shop it to community. We wrote it with community. We wrote it with community members who were fearful and scared and feeling impacted. That has helped build our community trust. And so I think this is one of those things where I actually have a pretty strong standing on listening to the needs of community, paying attention to them, moving policies and people to in very specific ways to build trust and engagement. And there is no question that anytime we broaden the face of representation in any division or any department or any seat of office, it changes how people see themselves in that division. And we want as many people to feel safe in this community as possible. So big question. Hopefully I got to some of the answer there.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Larson. Now we go back to Ron Brochu. Ron?
Duluth has a high percent of poverty compared with similar sized cities, yet its economic development emphasis leans heavily toward tourism, which pays less than most industries. Should the tourism emphasis continue, or should more effort be put on attracting other industries?
So tourism, to start with, it's a really good question to unpack in a whole bunch of different ways. What I love about some of our emphasis in tourism is that we are supporting locals. We're supporting local workers. And the work that I have done to shift how we've invested in the promotion and marketing and how we talk about tourism has been to specifically advance the story of locals in there. So we don't just like highlight the story of locals. We have seen economic impact in 9 of our 15 neighborhoods increase with the change of marketing that I did. And we have also seen Canal Park continue to stay steady. So for me, part of that economic influence is less about how do we shift what we're doing with tourism, more about how do we broaden it so that the tourism story, we know that visitors actually want to feel like locals. So how do we help more of our local economic base participate in that economy and feel some benefit from it? So that's some of that. You know, the work I did before I was mayor was really heavy in the workforce development field. And so we have just received an award from the National League of Cities. We're one of 15 cities across the country. Over 250 applied. And the focus, it's called Good Jobs, Great Cities. Our focus is manufacturing. As a regional center, we provide a huge amount of economic drive, job creation, manufacturing, healthcare, retail, tourism, all the things. And part of our opportunity is to lean into those areas and to expand opportunities. So we have done very specific job creation elements with commercial driver's license, with nursing, and now we're moving into manufacturing. So how we drive that is we have to create skilled workers for these local businesses to be able to expand. I am a strong and firm believer in helping our first and second base businesses get to third base and home runs. I believe that is one of the best and biggest ways that we grow our economy. We can talk about, you know, bringing in business from outside, but the best and strongest way is to work with people who are already loyal to the community here to help make sure they have the workers. And then the other thing, Ron, that is kind of workforce adjacent is making sure that people have a place to live and that they've got childcare. And these are two big areas that are really challenging right now. So I've invested heavily in housing. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about that more. And then I'm launching my childcare task force. I think it starts this week with the idea that we need employers to feel like they can get workers. We need workers to feel like they have what they need. We need moms and women to be competitive in a market economy. And all of that will help us drive economic growth outside and inclusive of tourism.
Thank you, Mayor Larson. The next one is from Bob Boone. Bob?
Duluth has an obvious housing and homelessness crisis with tent encampments springing up here and in Superior. Would you be in favor of letting them stand, or would you consider such projects as tiny house communities such as have been developed in Minneapolis?
Yes, I would support that concept. I've seen that concept. A group of us went down, it's called Avivo, is I think the model that you may be referencing. And I think there were maybe 30 of us. Chamber of Commerce was there, downtown Duluth. Yes, 100% would support a program that keeps people safely housed. I have been, I'm a social worker by trade. I worked at Chum for 12 years. And many people might feel that I might be surprised to learn that I do not support encampments. I do not think that is a safe way for people to be housed. I think it's a risk for people's physical, mental, chemical health. I think it's a risk for women. I have been very adamant on that point. What we're doing now, just so people know, I have a cross-department team of 18 staff people who meet three times a week. They meet with CHUM, they meet with the state, they meet with the county, and it is all about how do we get people housed. It is not fun for anybody to just be moved around. And so how are we actually going to the core of the problem? How are we actually investing in long-term housing needs at the city under my leadership and in partnership with the council? We have expanded warming center hours. We have invested in the shelter. We invested in hygiene up at the Damiano Center, and our police are working with Safe Bay. We are the first police department in the United States that has a nurse on staff to help respond. We have invested $600,000 annually into coordinated crisis response, which is making sure that if you call 911 and it's not a public safety threat, we are sending a social worker, a nurse, or an HDC mental health trained professional out. And so part of how I like to think about this is every single one of these folks, it is awkward. It is uncomfortable. I don't like seeing it. It makes me sad. It's all the same thing everyone else feels. And every single one of those people is someone's kid. They are someone's mom or dad or sister or brother. And we have to have some humanity as we look at that, and some recognition that we want better for everybody. So I was a board member when we created the idea of the San Marco supportive housing for chronic inebriants. I support investing in two more of those structures, one for mental health, one for chemical health. And then we use $19 million of our AARP American Rescue Plan funds to go directly into affordability and to expand affordable housing. I'm also on the board of the Greater Minnesota Housing Fund, which funds affordable housing throughout Greater Minnesota. So those are some of the tools we're bringing to bear. And yes, I'm fully supportive of the Stepping On Up three-phase model that CHUM and others are leading.
All right. And Bob has a follow-up.
Thank you. Essentia has built a brand new hospital, and the old St. Mary's Hospital seems to be available for use. Have we explored, or are you considering exploring converting that for homeless housing?
You know, that is, I don't have site control over that, to be honest. That particular parcel is something that the development of Essentia properties is kind of complicated because it does involve the sisters, it involves the Vatican. That particular parcel is very complicated. I don't have site control. I do have influence, and we are working very closely with Essentia on their 29 kind of vacated parcels of land around the hospital. Some of those are, you know, a surface level parking. Some of them are the hospital building you're referencing. They are coming up with a land use plan, and we have been pushing them to be thoughtful and mindful about housing and affordability. I don't see that site turning and just being kind of flipped over into affordable housing. That doesn't mean that's what I agree with. It doesn't mean that's, you know, but I think that is not their current plan right now. And I don't have site control to be able to use a lot of levers. However, the places that we do, where we can use zoning, where we can use, you know, TIF or other kinds of investments to incentivize housing, where we can work with Runroof, where we can work with other developers, we'll be doing that hands down. That particular site, I don't think that's what's going to happen there. And I understand why the community sees that as a good fit for that. I totally get that. I don't think that's what's going to happen there.
Thank you again, Mayor Larson. I have the next question. In the face of California and Hawaii wildfires, as well as hurricanes and other natural disasters, Duluth has been called the nation's climate change haven by the New York Times, CNN, and even our program. Officials from the local Realtors Association confirmed that Duluth home prices are skyrocketing due to climate refugees who can now work remotely and bring their big city salaries with them. Yet locals are being priced out, some taking as long as 2 years to find an affordable house. What will you do to make sure that those who have long lived here aren't priced out by newcomers?
So on this issue, there's a couple of different angles. First of all, on climate change, climate resilience, and climate action, my opponent is absolutely positively silent. Silent. And that is concerning for a variety of reasons, including the pinch this issue puts on our daily budget, whether it involves streams, overflows, storms, or climate migration. So hopefully we'll have a chance to unpack that a little bit, because on this issue, I am an unwavering champion of decreasing our greenhouse gases and advancing climate resilience into every single thing that we do. As it relates to climate refuge, I have been very public in saying we have to put our oxygen mask on first. We just have to. And so when it comes to housing, that means being absolutely tenacious about every development opportunity that we have. That includes the infill land and the infill properties that we have acquired through demolition or tax forfeit, immediately turning those into developable and incentivizing that. That means opportunities like Lester Golf. We absolutely cannot continue to provide recreation, a second public recreation opportunity over the hemorrhaging needs of a community that actually needs housing and an expanded tax base. It means we have to be very clear about our values, about who are we investing in and who are we investing for. I have brought on 1,700 new units of housing in the downtown alone. We just conducted a post-pandemic housing study for the downtown. We believe 2,200 units of housing are possible there in the conversion of office to housing. We have to be completely dedicated in every opportunity we have to getting every unit online and to do that as affordably as possible. That is why we have put into place a funding affordability and driving the math through the ARP funds and other, you know, opportunities that we have to get things more affordable. And then the other thing that I think we have to really recognize, Duluth is it's a very green, beautiful city. About 30 to 35% of our land is parkland. It is undevelopable. It is untaxable. And it's what we all love about living here. But it means that every other parcel we have available to us in town, we got to activate. We got to move on. We got to recruit developers. We have to make sure that we're providing an expansion of homeownership opportunities. And we have to invest in places like OneRoof, which is positioned right now, I think, to double their vision and their capacity in the next few years if they can get the legislative support. And that's an issue I will champion and get behind, because those supporters are the supporters that I have too.
All right. Thank you again. And now we go back to Ron Brochu. Ron?
Thank you. City Hall currently requires reporters to funnel all interview requests through a public relations gatekeeper rather than contact department personnel directly. Would you continue that practice? And if so, why?
So that has been the policy since before I took office. I can't remember the year it was there, maybe 2009, 2007. And it is a policy that we actually put into practice. And it is something that is less, I appreciate that you use the word gatekeeping, Ron, because I understand that may be how it feels to you. And that certainly is not the intent. The intent is to have some organization, because what we were finding is that we have a director who's got a full day of work, meetings, and things to attend to, and they, she, he are receiving many, many calls and unable to kind of focus in and get the work done that also has to get done. So it's less about trying to gatekeep, and it's more about trying to be organized and responsive to you in a way that's both useful and effective for you, and also effective and efficient for the staff who are doing the hard work. And so I would continue to do that. I have found that, you know, I don't get all of those requests. I get a summary at the end of every day or every other day or something like that. It isn't something that we're necessarily looking to control. It is something that we're looking to help organize. And so it works a little bit better for everybody. I would continue to do that. And if there are, if you have ideas on how that would look different, I really am open to that. This isn't something that has come up again since we started working more with it about 4 or 5 years ago. But I'd be happy to listen and hear if there are adjustments we can make that would make it feel less gatekeeping to you. But the intent has never been that. It has always been to protect staff time in a way that allows them to show up for you with intention, meaning, and content, and to have some organization and a planful way to do that. And I think that is providing better information and content for readers and for residents, because they should have all the content available to them. And we think that that actually helps staff answer it and give it in a good way.
All right. Thank you again, Mayor Larson.
You're welcome. Thank you, everybody.
And this concludes the questioning for Emily Larson, the incumbent running for her third term as mayor of Duluth. I'm Robin Washington. Coming up, we'll hear from the challenger, Roger Reiner. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We continue with our interviews with the candidates for mayor of Duluth on the November 7th ballot. With us now is former city councilor, state representative, and state senator Roger Reinert. Roger Reinert has been a Duluth city councilor serving from 2004 to 2009, a state representative from Duluth elected in 2008, and a state senator serving from 2011 to 2016. He's a Naval Reserve officer with the rank of commander and teaches at the College of St. Scholastica. Since last serving in elected office, he completed a law degree and was deployed in combat in Afghanistan and also to Italy. During the pandemic, he served as the interim executive director of the Duluth Entertainment and Convention Center. He describes himself as low-key, not flashy, and frugal, and says he loves Duluth with a passion and can't imagine calling any other place home. And I might add that, like Mayor Larson, he too is a runner, so it's not surprising to see them running against each other. And now, your opening statement, Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate you all coming together to host another one of our conversations. So I just generally share that I'm running for mayor because, like many Duluthians, I just think it's time for something different. It's time that we expect more and do better with our core city services, things like streets, utilities, public safety, our neighborhood parks, our community centers, and frankly, engaging our residents. And I'm running because we haven't had a truly meaningful election for mayor since 2007. That was Don Ness and Charlie Bell. And 4 years ago, almost two-thirds of Duluthians didn't even vote. We had 38% voter participation in our last mayoral election. I'm a civics teacher at heart, and that's not healthy for Duluth, nor is it healthy for democracy. I feel fortunate to come to this role with public sector, private sector, and military leadership experience. Robin did a great job on hitting a number of those things. In my day job, I'm a licensed attorney. I do also teach at St. Scholastica in both political science, a little bit of history, and legal studies. And a week ago, I entered my 19th year of service in the Navy Reserve. I've had the opportunity, as Robin mentioned, to serve on the city council, to serve as city council president, and also to serve 3 terms in the Minnesota legislature in both the House and Senate. So that opportunity to serve at both the local and the state level and see how those relationships interact. And again, as Robin mentioned, after leaving the legislature, finished my law degree, spent a year overseas in Afghanistan, came home, was not home for very long, and then was asked to go overseas again at the beginning of the COVID pandemic. Was in Italy when that was the global hotspot for 3.5 months. And in that role was helping provide COVID communications and guidance for sailors on 6 bases in 5 countries on 3 continents. It was an incredibly fulfilling mission. The entire first part of our campaign was really focused on listening. And we've done a lot of non-traditional things throughout our campaign, including not seeking political party endorsements. We did a lot of listening, we did a lot of taking notes, and from those came the 5 big issues that we've spent the last several months talking about. And some of those were mentioned in the intro. Housing across all income levels, developing our commercial tax base, streets, downtown Duluth, and affordable property taxes. So I look forward, I'm sure, to chatting about many of them today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator Reinert. And now the questions, beginning with Ron Brochu from Business North. Ron?
Thanks, Robin. For decades, many contractors and developers have complained Duluth city offices are more difficult to work with than those elsewhere, and the city's policies are inconsistent. Roger, what should be done to improve that reputation?
That's a great question and an important one. You know, we hear things and some of them even were shared in your own publication of Duluth is the hardest city to work with ever. And we would rather just invest in other areas. And those narratives are not helpful. We have to be a community that welcomes growth in our business sector. And I always talk about it as growing our commercial tax base. And when I talk with folks, I talk about why that is. And it really is about helping us be more financially independent as a community and also afford the services that we all want as Duluthians. Right now, local government aid, money that comes from the state that is dependent on political whims in St. Paul, is our number one source of revenue, making up almost 1/3 of the revenue side of the equation. So it's not reliable. Our tax base is reliable. And you know, roughly 2/3 of that tax base comes from commercial property taxes. So when we have folks saying, I would rather not work in Duluth, it's a difficult place to do business, and then sharing that with their peers, it really creates a challenge in us trying to grow that. You know, and the steps to doing better are really pretty straightforward. And they're about having a culture of how do we get to yes, of not prejudging projects, of saying if this fits within zoning, if it fits within our code, then our job and the job of every City Hall employee is how do we move your project forward? And how do we do it in a way that is consistent, a way that is reliable, and a way that is timely? And too often right now we hear that we can turn a project around in Superior or Hermantown in a couple weeks in what takes Duluth several months. You know, we need to care about that because residential property taxpayers are feeling that burden. A 9% levy increase last year that was whittled down to 7.9 is still substantial. And growing our commercial tax base helps relieve some of that pressure and helps make us financially more independent.
All right. Thank you, Senator Reinert. The next question is from Bob Boone of the Duluth Reader.
Hello, Roger.
Hi, Bob.
My first question would be, why do you want to be Duluth's mayor? And what distinguishes you from your opponent?
Sure. Well, the first one is a little bit easier. It's not really something that I have sought or something I ever thought I would be doing. When I left the legislature in 2016 and chose not to run again, did not expect to ever be running again. really felt like I was beginning a different chapter in life. And it was largely during the work that I was doing at the convention center during the pandemic when people just started asking. And it often went something like, I know you would never do this, but you should think about it. I'm sure you will say no, but, and frankly, they were right. I, you know, after 2 deployments and challenging work during the pandemic at the deck, I was ready to just be a very private citizen. But, you know, I recognized in what people were saying concerns that I shared, feeling like paying a lot in taxes, but seeing a degradation of our core city services and really just wanting to see the city deliver well on core city services. And then as I reflect on experiences I've had, I thought there's something there that I think I can offer. And then frankly, when I realized we just haven't had a meaningful election for almost 20 years and the related community conversation that comes with that. And this is a great example. We'll have done 13 forums since the primary, and that is a reflection of the community's interest. So that's kind of the why. You know, and I don't do the compare and contrast. I won't even use words like opponent. I don't think that this has to be an inherently negative or divisive process. And frankly, I think the work of the voter is to draw those contrasts. So what I will say is, you know, I have the elected service. I have a great skill set from my military experience of structuring and aligning both human and fiscal resources, developing outcomes and putting those accountabilities into place for both staff and for myself that I think lend themselves to what I'm hearing Duluthians say that they're looking for in this election.
Thank you, Senator Reinert. And I have the next question, which is, a report the city commissioned from independent researchers determined that Duluth police were more likely to stop Indigenous and people of color for motor vehicle equipment violations or suspicious activity, and also more likely to search them and dole out harsher penalties than they do for white residents. Yet it also said that officers didn't think there are racial disparities compared to the public's perception of them. What will you do to educate the police force, and do you think a senior-level BIPOC person on the force would help solve the problem?
Well, thanks for that question. I think it's, for listeners, we're talking about pretextual stops. So the opportunity to look for things that maybe a stopping officer thinks or suspects might lead to something else. And I think those of us who don't represent those things that you just mentioned, I'm white, I'm male, I'm middle-aged, past middle-aged. We don't travel around with that feeling. And yet, I just shared this with someone the other day. You know, when I get stopped or think that I might be getting stopped, you know, I feel that anxiety level rise up in myself. And I know that I have all the advantages that society has to offer. So this is a real thing. And I think one of the things that I'm grateful for is to have support of both Duluth Fire and Duluth Police. And why would I say that? Because right now there is a needed conversation with our public safety team, and that's both fire and police. Many times they are both arriving to the same scenes. Morale is low, recruitment is difficult, retention is very difficult. And in fourth floor, in City Hall, we need somebody who is going to be their partner. And one of the reasons we need somebody who's going to be their partner is not to say that you're doing everything perfectly. And our public safety team actually does a great job and is one of the more progressive ones and has been acknowledged for that. But we all have to be willing to hold each other accountable. And when I screened for Duluth Police, I said exactly that. I said, I will hold each one of you and myself accountable to the oaths we have taken. But I also will be a partner with you in that work. And so in that relationship, you have the opportunity to talk about these places where we might have blind spots. And in those folks who are putting on a uniform and going out every day saying we're going to serve and protect, we also ask them to do what's increasingly feeling like a little bit more of a military operation. And that's not where we want our police officers to be. We want them to be in protecting and serving and foot patrols and outreach and community engagement. You know, so to get there, it's going to be a conversation. It's going to be being completely honest with each other about where we can do better. And frankly, where we have blind spots, they're called blind spots because we don't see them. And I think that was kind of in your question, Robin. And then I also think it's about how do we continue to be creative and innovative about how we do this work, bringing back our police reserve, bringing back our citizen patrols, bringing back the police academy so cops can really do cop things.
All right. Thank you again, Senator Reiner. Now we go back to Ron Brochu. Ron?
Duluth has a high percent of poverty compared with similar sized cities, yet its economic development emphasis leans heavily toward tourism, which pays less than most industries. Should the tourism emphasis continue, or should more effort be put on attracting other industries?
Thanks, Ron. That's a great question. I would say both and. So I'll give you the pitch on why I am supportive of our tourism industry, even given all the information in the preface. It gives us a brand that is so far beyond what any community like us otherwise would have. And the great example I would give you is when I was at the Capitol, I always had a card rack outside my office. We called it the Southern Office of Visit Duluth, because I just knew that if people remembered that they had been here and had an experience, it made everything else I was going to do easier. When I was talking about building sanitary sewer overflow tanks, so we didn't halt economic development, I just had a much easier time working with my colleagues than somebody who was from a community in Minnesota that they had never visited and probably never would. So I think the brand of Duluth is really lifted up by our tourism industry and folks visiting. However, my primary economic development emphasis is going to be on those things that we are already doing and doing well: engineering, aviation, transportation, medical, higher ed, and really leaning heavily into where are the secondary and tertiary opportunities that go along with those things. We have two major medical systems in Essentia and St. Luke's that cover multiple states between the two systems. And yet we've really not developed much in terms of that secondary industry, things like drug development, R&D, prosthetics, all of those related types of things. And the same thing with our aviation sector between Cirrus and the 148, like where are those opportunities for us to have to keep building out on those hubs? You know, we've seen in the past economic development activities in Duluth that were kind of targeted at landing the next big thing. I've really never seen that be successful. And in fact, it usually involves tax incentives or giveaways that we can't afford. But the economic strategy that has proven in community after community to be successful is to increase those hubs that you already have in existence. And again, transportation, higher ed, medical, aviation, and engineering. I think those are great spots for us to build value-added concentric circles that are good-paying jobs. And really, many of them lean in on the manufacturing history Duluth has that especially residents in the western part of our community are rightly proud of.
Thank you, Senator Reinert. The next one is from Bob Boone. Bob?
Duluth has a very obvious housing and homeless crisis, with tent encampments springing up both here and in Superior. Would you be in favor of letting them stand, or would you consider projects such as tiny house communities, such as been developed in Minneapolis?
So thanks, Bob. I am not a proponent of having encampments stand, and I'll share for a couple reasons. You know, one, when we have seen intentional or even unintentional larger encampments develop, whether that was under the I-35 overpass by downtown, where we twice had the freeway on fire, or in Superior under Belknap, where it was kind of a don't ask, don't tell policy by the city there, folks in the encampments end up being re-victimized. So, you know, the basic premise is that's not good for the individual. It's not good for our neighborhoods or for the community. So then it does press us to say, what are the alternatives? And I think you mentioned some, whether it's tiny houses, and I am more of a proponent of the ones that our two stories fit more into our residential neighborhoods so that people don't continue to be singled out, but instead are welcomed into the fabric of neighborhoods as they transition stages and phases of life. But I think we also have to be really honest that the thing we most need is something akin to the San Marco. You know, I was on council when we brought the San Marco in as a way of dealing with folks who have chronic alcoholism and were just repeatedly street to detox back and kind of a revolving door, not healthy for the individual or for our community. And it's proven to be incredibly effective. The biggest opponents at the time were our police, and they're now the biggest proponents. And given the underlying issue of the fentanyl opioid epidemic, that to me is the top priority in a relatively short-term strategy.
Bob, your follow-up?
Sure. The follow-up question to this is something that's puzzled me for quite a while. Essentia has built a tremendous brand new hospital. And the old one, I understand, is due for demolition. Would you consider, or do you think there's an ability to transition the former Essentia Hospital into a housing for homelessness?
Yeah, and I know, thanks, Bob. I know that has been talked about. My understanding is the sisters are a proponent of really exploring that. From sitting at the table around several meetings, it sounds like there could be some existing infrastructure issues in terms of how the hospital is built, much like when we weren't able to reuse the Morgan Park High School. Just really solidly built buildings are sometimes hard to shift and move around. If that ends up being the case, and the old St. Mary's Hospital comes down, what I am really interested in seeing happen is, could that be the place that we end up having a med school, PharmD school, in combination with the resident practice clinic that's currently located on Superior Street? That then gives folks who don't have great access to healthcare, who often don't have the economic ability to pay for healthcare in our cash payer system, access to really great care. And it gives our medical students and PharmD students the opportunity to interact with patients that they may or may not see as they move into practice. So I think we should continue exploring that idea. I want to honor the sisters' wishes who actually own title to that property. But if that building is not suitable for that kind of reuse, then I am very interested in seeing how can we build new that in a way that incorporates folks in our community who need and deserve access to healthcare.
Thank you, Senator Reinert. And I have the next question, which is, in the face of California and Hawaii wildfires, as well as hurricanes and other natural disasters, Duluth has been called the nation's climate change haven by the New York Times, CNN, and even our program. Officials from the local Realtors Association confirmed that Duluth home prices are skyrocketing due to climate refugees who can now work remotely and bring their big city salaries with them. Yet locals are being priced out, some taking as long as 2 years to find an affordable house. What will you do to make sure that those who have long lived here aren't priced out by newcomers?
That's you have the most appropriate build up to that question, Robin, because we have all of those dynamics at play. And even if it's not climate change, it's folks coming to our community for good paying jobs. And so what we're seeing is a market that doesn't have inventory and a market that is classically stuck in the middle. Most of us have seen significant home price valuation increases. I looked at my own and it's something like 46% in just the last 5 years. And it really is pricing lifelong Duluthians out of, sometimes out of existing homes because of the related property taxes or the inability to buy a home. So we come back to that idea of we're stuck in the middle. We need more middle of the portfolio housing stock, and we even need some additional upper end so that people will move through the housing stock and be willing to put existing homes on the market. And it's not the city's job to build homes. We talked about one of the obligations the city has, which is to have a process that is predictable, reliable, and timely. And we continue to struggle in that area, as a couple recent surveys, including the chamber survey, indicate. But the other one is the place I do think the city has an obligation, and I'm hopeful yet for the remaining $24 million, $24 million ARPA dollars that we have. We have an opportunity to invest in infrastructure. We have existing lots where we could demo houses, do the site prep, use available current infrastructure, and then we could partner with developers by adding the additional water, sewer, and gas lines necessary. You know, the last time we did a significant middle market housing development was Hawks Ridge, and that was begun a number of years ago. So if we want to add inventory and an inventory of enough size and scale, not in square footage, but in individual single family homes, we need to work on the infrastructure side of that equation. And I think it's important for listeners to know that right now that expense is carried by the builder. So when you meet with a builder, what they'll say is, I can't get a mid-market home to market because I usually have $100,000 in before I even start building the home. And that's why we don't get something under 300. And we watch homes in even our traditionally more affordable neighborhoods push up against that 300,000 mark, which is pricing Duluthians out of buying a home.
Thank you, Senator. Now we go back to Ron Brochu. Ron?
Here's one about transparency. City Hall currently requires reporters to funnel all interview requests through a public relations gatekeeper rather than contact department personnel directly. Would you continue that practice? And if so, why?
Thanks for that question. I would not. And I think that is, you know, I'm informed on that by my experience in the Navy as a public affairs officer. You know, I think when we control information in that way, it's because we're concerned about what a staff person might say. And it's just, that's not consistent with my leadership style. Number one, our folks that are on the front edge of various services, whether that's streets or plowing or construction services or fire or police, they are our subject matter experts. Our job then is to have a communications staff that will work with those folks. And, you know, we have a really great example in one of our best partners, and that's St. Louis County. Here's an organization that is significantly larger than the city of Duluth, who does not function in that way, who has one communications person, Dana Kazel, who is amazing at her job, and will work with the media and that subject matter expert to get you the information you need, or if that person's going to go on camera, on the radio, in the newspaper to do an interview to help support that person who may be nervous, who maybe not have done that before. But that's not a reason to not have them do that. They are still the best source of information. So, you know, I am very interested. The city does not have a great reputation in terms of being a good communicator. And again, maybe because of the background I come with from my Navy work and having done that work in very challenging environments, I don't think it is to try and control or take away. I think it is to better educate and support our staff who are the subject matter experts.
Thank you for that answer, and thank you for joining us, Senator Reinert.
Oh, thanks, everyone. I really appreciate the opportunity. This has been great.
You're listening to Simply Superior on Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, the closing statements of both candidates for mayor of Duluth. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We'll now hear the closing statements for each candidate for mayor of Duluth in the November election. As we stated, the interviews were recorded separately, but because they were pre-recorded before this broadcast, we're able to bring both statements to you sequentially. We'll start with the incumbent, Mayor Emily Larson.
Well, this has been, so thank you. This has been a really, really good conversation, and thank you for having me. When I took office, Duluth faced steep challenges, and one by one, we're taking them on and we're addressing them. From streets to lead service lines, parks funding to climate action, housing creation and economic expansion, we're making important critical progress, and the momentum we've built together as a community is real, and it is at risk in this election. This next term is about revitalizing our downtown. It's about doubling down on housing. It's about a 10-year parks plan and a vision for the library. It's about getting the lead out of your private water line and expanding childcare solutions so you can support your family. It's about continuing to invest in ways that make every neighborhood ones of choice and opportunity. And it's about getting as many people through each day and each week as whole and as healthy as possible. Today, I think I've made a solid case about what I bring, who I am, and why this vision is one worth continuing. Under my leadership, I have forced the city to look forward and be proactive while staying true to a long-term plan and vision. That vision is our vision, and it's the one we've carefully built together. This election is a major choice point for Duluth. Either we continue to grow and build on our success, or we risk going backwards. Who leads the city and how they lead it matters. Who stands alongside candidates publicly will be partners in the work, and that's why I'm proud to be endorsed by the folks I talked about, but also including 11 labor unions and the Central Labor Body, which represents 17,000 workers. Every single one of these people has my back and your back to help us be successful. Your vote is important and it's precious. You're voting for someone you can work with and someone you believe in. My name's Emily Larson, and once again, I ask for your support.
And thank you for your closing statement, and thank you again for being here, Mayor Larson.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And now, here's the closing statement of the challenger, Senator Roger Reinert.
Well, thank you again. I really appreciate this opportunity. As I mentioned in my open, I'm running for mayor because, like many Duluthians, I'm ready for something different. And like Duluthians, I'm concerned about the five big issues, many of which we talked about: housing across all income levels, growing our commercial tax base, doing a better job with our streets, downtown Duluth, and affordable property taxes. I believe there are practical, tangible steps the next mayor administration can take in each of these areas. And honestly, it's time we do. I feel that earning 63% of the vote in the primary told us that we're on the right track, that Duluthians agree that these are the big issues. And right now, Duluth is sort of good, and we should be exceptional. We have unique neighborhoods, abundant outdoor spaces, Lake Superior, and of course, our people. Yet in the last census, we grew by 400 residents, 0.05%, while all other regional centers in Minnesota grew at an average of 10%. We need to be concerned because that's not growth, it's stagnation. Now, city government cannot do everything, nor should it. Our role is to be a good partner, to do the hard work of paying attention to the basics: streets, utilities, and public safety, our neighborhood parks and community centers, doing these things effective, efficient, and at a tax rate that we can both afford and sustain. We all know that when that's done right, it doesn't even make the news. It just works. And it's a foundation that allows our residents to succeed, our businesses to grow, and our neighborhoods to thrive. I'm so grateful for the support we've had from one end of Duluth to the other, east, west, old, young, liberal, conservative. And for folks still looking to make up their mind, I'd encourage them to check out our website, rogerforduluth.com, or follow us online. We're at rogerforduluth on all our socials, and encourage everyone to participate in the election on November 7th. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us, Senator Reinert.
Oh, thanks, everyone. I really appreciate the opportunity. This has been great.
That concludes our candidate interviews for Mayor of Duluth in the general election on November 7th. We've been joined by candidates Emily Larson and Roger Reinert, and we thank them for their participation, as well as journalist Ron Brochu of Business North and Bob Boone of the Duluth Reader. Thank you, Ron and Bob.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Rob.
And that's it for this special edition of Simply Superior on the Duluth mayoral race. Due to our program's length, some questions were not able to be included in this broadcast edition of the Candidates Forum, which is presented in its entirety on the Simply Superior webpage at WPR.org. The full transcripts of the entire candidate interviews will also appear in editions of the Duluth Reader and Business North, available at news dealers and racks across the Northland, and at DuluthReader.com and BusinessNorth.com. If you're an eligible voter in Duluth, we hope you will do so on November 7th or in early voting, which is already taking place at Duluth City Hall, with on-site voter registration. And if you're not a Duluth voter, we hope you found this information informative as it affects our greater communities. Ezra Wall is our executive producer, and we received administrative support from Joy Ratch-Kramer. I'm Robin Washington, and as always, stay safe, everyone.